Good morning, Night City.
Today I bought 5 motorcycles because motorcycles are better than cars.
I went through at least 3 apartments and found 2 beer bottles and a vinyl.
Woo! All right, this is Press Any Button. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Austin.
Hello, Austin, our special guest.
Very nice to meet you.
Yes. For the audience listening, hear that? That's a Johnny Silverhands cocktail that Austin made us, which is basically a old-fashioned with tequila and a chili rim. It tastes okay. I don't know if I would recommend it.
It's technically made with mezcal. It's a mezcal, Angostura bitters. Yeah, it's basically like a mezcal old-fashioned with a chili rim and a splash of Mexican beer.
It's a thing, and we tried it, and we did it. So, memories.
I probably wouldn't get another one.
It tastes like something a punk rocker who's been dead for 50 years would like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
So what game are we talking about today? If you haven't guessed it by listening to our awesome intro.
We're talking about Cyberpunk 2077.
Woo! Cyberpunk 2077 is a 2020 action role-playing game developed by CD Projekt Red and published by CD Projekt. The plot is set in the fictional metropolis of Night City, California, within the dystopian cyberpunk universe. The player assumes the role of V, a mercenary who accidentally gets imbued with a cybermedic biochip containing an engram of legendary rock star and terrorist Johnny Silverhand. This episode will contain many spoilers. We're going to talk about the ending, maybe some secret endings, who you can sleep with, all kinds of crazy stuff. So let's get into it.
So Austin, what made you pick Cyberpunk? Is there a personal story? I assume there's a deep personal story here.
Oh yeah, it's a super personal deep story. So when you asked me to be on the podcast, I was playing Cyberpunk 2077. And I thought, you know what? I could talk about this. No, it's a game I put a lot of hours into it. And so for me, I've always loved RPGs. I've always loved immersive environments in games. I spent a lot of time playing RPGs when I was a kid. I loved starting with Dragon Warrior and then the Final Fantasies.
Oh, yeah.
Put a lot of hours into Skyrim. And then Cyberpunk was... I've always loved sci-fi, too. And so Cyberpunk 2077 had a similarly immersive environment. And I knew I was going to love it from the start. As soon as I saw the preview, I was like, that's going to be fun for me. And so they did a great job with the world that they created. The characters, the gameplay are all good. But really, I like immersing myself into a very well done world environment like the one they built, and so it was really cool. I really liked exploring it.
Cool, yeah, dude. That's awesome.
It's a perfect reason to pick a game.
Yeah, I mean, it could be as simple as I liked it.
Oh, exactly. Or I didn't like it, Eric.
I like to pick games that I don't like. They're fun to talk about.
Yeah.
In my defense.
Yeah, they are.
So getting into the history, we're going to start in the year 1988. With the release of Cyberpunk 2013.
Ooh.
Did you know a Cyberpunk came out in 1988?
And it took place in the distant future of 2013.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a tabletop role-playing game written and designed by Mike Pondsmith.
Oh, so it wasn't a video game.
No, this is a tabletop role-playing
game. Kind of like D&D.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, exactly. Pondsmith's main inspiration for the game was the novel Hardwired and the film Blade Runner.
Are you saying Paul Smith or Pond Smith?
Pond Smith.
P-O-N?
P-O-N-D. Like a pond.
Oh, Pond Smith.
Like you're skipping stones in a pond.
Okay, I've never heard anyone named that.
Good name.
Pond
Just
Smith.
Just making sure I'm hearing you right, that's all.
Yeah, so what do you think? Hardwired, Blade Runner, are you guys familiar with either of those?
I mean, I think I've seen Blade Runner the movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so the original Blade Runner, it was like a cult classic by Ridley Scott. I didn't see it until Blade Runner 2049 came out, and I went back and watched it, and it was like one of those things that was always like this sci-fi movie I'd never seen, kind of a cult classic. It's interesting, it's like kind of an artsy movie.
Yeah, it's one of those that you kind of either hate or love, where it kind of takes a while to develop.
It's very film noir, And so, yeah, I think that's probably why I hadn't seen it. And it wasn't very mainstream. But then, yeah, I went back and watched it when Blade Runner 2049 came out. And then, you know, I thought it was a cool movie, I guess. Blade Runner 2049, though, is one of my favorite movies. I like that movie a lot. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you thought they did a pretty good job with the remake?
Well, it's not a remake. It's a it's a sequel.
Oh, okay. Just a really late sequel.
Well, the original is Blade Runner 2020. So, yeah, the original with Harrison Ford, that one took place in the distant future of 2020. And they had flying cars and, you know, all that sort of stuff. This vast dystopian future, you know, all the animals on the planet are dead. You know, they thought we would have gotten there a lot sooner, I guess. And so then for Blade Runner 2049, they're like, oh, we should probably give it a few more years. And no, they did a fantastic job with that movie. I really liked it.
Cool.
Highly recommend.
Awesome. So later versions would be released in 1990. Cyberpunk 2020 came out. In 2005, Cyberpunk version 3.0 came out. I guess they stopped doing the years.
Are we still talking about the tabletop game?
Yeah, okay. These are the versions of the tabletop game.
Okay, cool.
And in 2020, Cyberpunk Red came out.
Ooh, Red.
Ironic. So getting into the game, in 2012, CD Projekt Red, fresh off the release of The Witcher 2, approached Pondsmith about licensing his tabletop game for a video game. Pondsmith was impressed by the studio's knowledge of the Cyberpunk universe, and he agreed to license the game to them until the year 2077.
Okay.
Wow, that's convenient.
Yeah. You see where that comes from? Yeah. Cyberpunk 2077.
Making sense.
Pondsmith would also work as a consultant on the game. So Cyberpunk 2077 was publicly announced in 2012.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Man.
And the first trailer was released in 2013. I went back and watched this trailer. There was no gameplay footage in the trailer. It was just like a cinematic.
Just an idea. Mm-hmm. There's no Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, no Keanu Reeves, obviously. But the overall artistic direction seemed to be pretty different. Like, it was a lot darker. I feel like Cyberpunk 2077 ended up having, like, you know, some bright colors as far as, like, your clothes and the weapons and all that stuff.
It's extremely vibrant. Yeah, and yeah. It's very neon. It's kind of a little bit Las Vegas, but it's like 80s style.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
yeah,
it's very colorful.
I would definitely recommend going back and watching that 2013 trailer.
Right. And that's funny because, yeah, Blade Runner is definitely more dark, I would say. So, and it is based on Blade Runner and Akira and some of those other sort of darker futuristic sci-fi pieces. So
around 2016, the game engine was switched from Red Engine 3 to Red Engine 4, which caused most of the team's work to be scrapped. 2016 was also the year Witcher 3 was released, which freed up more people at CD Projekt Red to work on Cyberpunk. And I think that's also part of what happened, is I think some of the people coming off the Witcher 3 saw the work done at that point and weren't that happy with it, and so they wanted to change directions. So they just kind of like almost just started over entirely at that point. So at the peak of development, there were over 500 people working on this game.
Whoa.
And the total cost of developing the game was over $436 million, making it one of the most expensive games to develop in history.
Oh my God.
I think I looked it up on Wikipedia and it was like fourth on the list.
You know what's ahead of that one though?
Oh my gosh.
There's a game called Monopoly Go.
Yeah, oh, I saw that. I saw that on the list and was like, what the hell?
And I was just like, okay.
We have a bunch of friends that play that game.
By 2018, the game's producer, Borzymowski, announced that the game was basically finished. It was playable from start to finish, and they released a trailer and a demo. Borzymowski said that they basically just needed to iron out some bugs at that point. And I went back and watched the 2018 trailer of the game, and, you know, there wasn't Johnny Silverhand at that point. It looked a lot different. It looked like a lot of stuff was cut out. So I also recommend going back and watching the 2018 trailer because it looks pretty different from what ultimately came out in 2020. It makes me wonder, like, just going back and watching it, how much stuff ended up getting cut out of this game. So the same year, 2018, CD Projekt Red approached Keanu Reeves and asked him if he would voice Johnny Silverhand. According to an article from GameBite, Keanu enjoyed playing Silverhand so much that he talked the company into giving him a much larger role in the game than was originally intended.
I've heard that.
Nice.
Yeah, yep. So where that comes from, I think someone was doing a different language version of Johnny Silverhand, and they realized, like, all of a sudden, like, their lines were, like, double, like, more than doubled, and they're like, wow, like, what's going on?
Because when Keanu Reeves asks you to do something, you say yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't get told no.
Anybody even heard of The Matrix? It's like,
seriously.
Yeah, it's like, let's just make the game about this guy.
And plus, he's been doing all those other action movies like John Wick and all that stuff lately, too. God, so yeah. It's like he's in his action star, rock star.
Yeah, my era. My thought was that they actually might have intended some other like celebrity cameos too, but like they ended up just going full on board with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
So Cyberpunk 2077 was released December 10th, 2020, and it was a bit of a disaster. It was released on PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, and Xbox One. And there were still a lot of bugs and major performance issues, particularly with the PS4 and Xbox One versions of the game.
Yeah, I remember when that came out, it was just getting dogged on left and right by everyone. There's so many YouTube videos talking about it.
A video of like some car like just like falling through the road or something. Yeah.
On Twitter, everyone was complaining, like people were not happy. I don't blame them because it was like expensive game. If you're selling it, it should be at least playable, and I don't think it was like even really playable.
Yeah, and plus they've been hyping the game since literally 2013, so seven years.
That's a long time.
But yeah, it was so bad that 7 days after release, the game was removed from the PlayStation Store, and people could request a refund. I'm not sure if that was both the PS5 and PS4 versions, but I know for sure the PS4 version.
Nobody had a PS5. They were impossible to get.
Oh, in 2020? Yeah, no one's going to know.
All of the 10 people who had PS5s are like, this is great.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't added back to the store until June of 2021. And then the PS4 version came with a warning about performance issues. So I'm still not sure it runs up the stuff, but...
Yeah. It's crazy that it's successful as it is, considering its debut. You know?
What doesn't make sense to me is why they even tried to release it on PS4 and Xbox One if they couldn't get it to run.
Yeah, like,
probably pressure from the stockholders and the people that are investing in the game.
We'll get into that in a minute.
I'll give you a clue. What was the release date again?
It was released in December 10th of 2020. They wanted to release it on 2020.
They wanted to release it for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Yep. And probably during the pandemic, too.
It got rushed.
Yeah.
They put a lot of pressure on the company to put it out before Christmas.
That's... They also had to finish all those parts that Keanu Reeves added. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
So there were numerous class action lawsuits around the release of the game.
Yes.
The main issue was that investors felt like CD Projekt had misrepresented the game by not distributing PS4 and Xbox One copies of the game to reviewers. So those copies of the game never got reviewed. So like it would get like a higher score and then people would play it and be like, what the hell?
Yeah, I definitely remember hearing about that. People were mad.
Yeah. So the end result was CD Projekt having to pay $1.8 million to the investors.
Because they knew if they had it put it out there for people to put it on Twitch and stuff, everyone would see all the bugs and see how bad it was and probably not buy it.
Yeah, I feel like $1.8 million is getting off kind of light, considering it was numerous.
Yeah.
I mean, they spent, what, $500 million on revamping the game or whatever?
Yeah, that's like they dropped a dime on the ground or something.
$1.8 million, it's like, all right, hey, Steve, give him $1.8 million. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, you win. Here you go.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I guess you guys won't have Monster Energy drinks this week for the break room. That's probably how much they spend on stuff.
So despite all the technical issues with the game, the PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X versions of the game all reviewed pretty well. And by 2023, the game had sold over 25 million copies and made over $750 million.
Wow.
So it did pretty well, actually. So it ended up being a net positive, even with that high expense.
Yeah.
I'm definitely glad that we played it now instead of when it came out.
Yeah, me too. I think it pays to wait for most games. Just not to have to be a guinea pig or a game tester.
Yeah. And I wonder how many people are playing it now, too. You know, like getting into it now that it's getting more of a better reputation.
Yeah. It's like 4 years later. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I will say I waited and I waited intentionally because for me, it was always going to be a PS5 game. And I kind of saw what was happening when the game came out and it was PS5s were impossible to get.
Yeah,
I didn't actually think Cyberpunk was going to come out before Christmas. And when it came out before Christmas, I was like, oh, that's weird. And it also came out for PS4. And I was like, I didn't even think it was going to be a PS4 game.
Yeah.
And so, the initial sort of backlash of it was not ready to be released, and it was definitely not operating smoothly on PS4. There's also two different versions, or two versions that I know of PS4. There was the original version, which is the one that I owned, and then there was like a PS4 Plus or PS4 Slim or whatever. There was a newer version of the PS4, and I think they've done that with about every console. About halfway through its lifespan, they've released like a sort of a more efficient version of that console. So the people who had the newer version of the PS4 had way fewer complaints than the people who had the original PS4. I had the original PS4, so I was like, well, I'm just going to wait till I get a PS5. PS5s are impossible to get.
Yeah.
And what was this, Christmas time 2020 or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the scalper market was ridiculous.
They were going for like $1,200 on eBay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you couldn't get them. And so for me, it was always like, well, I'm going to wait until I get a PS5 because I'm not going to play Cyberpunk on my crappy old OG PS4. And so it was always going to be like a wait and play it type game. And so in the meantime, I was excited for it, but at the same time, I held off.
Mm-hmm.
I watched, I don't know if you guys have seen it, there's a series on Netflix called Edge Runners. They kind of made it for the game.
Yeah, I've heard about that. It was a pretty successful series, and I think the series ended up translating into a lot of sales of the game after it came out.
Yeah, I think so too. And they did have some little Easter eggs in the game where you could find the main character in Edge Runners. His name is David Martinez, and you can find his gear and stuff like that. So nice. They did a good job integrating it into the game. But it was like one more thing to sort of hype up the game for me. And like I said, I waited to get it. I didn't go out and get it right away.
Yeah.
And I always like to wait too, because like for that exact reason. It's like I want to hear the reviews. I don't want to pay $60-$70 for a game and hate it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like there. On the one hand, you're thinking, all right, the game I've really been looking for is just gone down in history as the buggiest game in the history of forever. Out of all the games that have ever been released, it was literally probably the least ready for release.
Yeah.
It was virtually unplayable, and people were furious. They were so mad. On the other hand, I'm like, hey, I better get it for cheaper when I buy it. Because at the same time, it's like, these are the people. This is CD Projekt Red. Their staff was huge. You know, it was a big production. They made The Witcher 3, which everybody played The Witcher 3. The Witcher 3 is like one of the greatest games in history. So you knew it wasn't, the end product was probably not going to be bad. Like at some point, this was going to be a great game.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of just waiting it out for me.
Yeah, there are lots of games that I feel like in recent history that have released to really buggy launches. And then over time, they've gotten fixed and become the games they were almost promised to be.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is probably one of those.
You kind of think it's probably one of those teaching points of like, hey, if the game's not ready to go out and we want it out by Christmas, it's like, maybe just let it cook. Maybe just let it simmer until it's ready and don't release the buggiest game of all time.
Yeah. Take all right. That hit.
All right. So I got some fun facts for you.
Ooh, fun facts.
So fun fact number one, Cyberpunk takes place in an alternative timeline much like the Fallout series. Basically, in this universe, the U.S. never develops into a major global power, instead getting bogged down in wars in Central America. The Soviet Union never dissolves, and Japan ends up as a major superpower, which is why Night City has such a huge Japanese influence.
So this
is alternative timeline America that you're in.
Yeah, because we definitely don't have a big Japanese influence.
I mean, there is kind of one in California, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd say culture overall. Japanese is a heavy hitter for culture.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So fun fact number two, Night City is located on the central coast of California. The specific marker puts it right at Morro Bay.
I've heard of that.
And that's like pretty close to where you live, right? Like an hour away?
No, it's like 12 miles away.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's close. Yeah, it's not far at all.
So if you've been to Morro Bay, right? So
I go to Morro Bay for work every couple of months. We live right by Morro Bay. We go there all the time.
So if you go through the streets of Morro Bay, is it like being in Night City?
Oh, no.
Totally.
Yeah. So yeah, what's funny about this is when they made Night City, the original Night City back in the 80s, they decided they were going to put it in, I guess, Central California. They said Northern California. It's like Central Coast California. Kind of on the line, but yeah, we're pretty much directly halfway between LA and San Francisco, and then Night City was supposed to be kind of a blend of those two cities, which kind of is, kind of isn't, or whatever. So they were like, well, we'll put the fictional city in this real place that's in a part of California that's in between the two cities. Yeah, and it just happens to be Morro Bay. Yeah, if you look at, so I think they actually used the maps of Morro Bay and Los Osos when they designed the city, obviously it looks nothing like Mario Bay and Los Osos. They didn't even put the Rock out there. So Mario Bay is famous for Mario Rock. And then they've got three stacks. They've got a retired coal plant or a decommissioned coal plant or whatever. And it's got three big stacks. And they're kind of known for their three stacks and a rock, which Amaro is, it's essentially like a small rock mountain. It's technically a volcanic plug where magma pushed up the Earth's crust and then weathered away. And now there's just this big rock out in the ocean. And then,
so did they use kind of like the street?
They didn't use
the same street.
They didn't use any of it. No, I think they used just overall like the regional sort of map and the coastline. But like I said, not the actual rock, which is sort of like the iconic part of Mario Bay isn't even in the game.
I mean, this is an alternative timeline, so it's maybe we just destroy the rock.
Maybe the rock got nuked. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's a big rock though. Yeah, and so the rock, it used to be out in the ocean. They built a causeway to it, so you can go up to it. Have you guys been out to it?
I think so.
I think we've
driven up to it. It's known for, it's a big fishing town, and they've got a lot of good seafood restaurants. They've got otters and seals in the bay, and you can, you know, my wife and kid, they love going there. It's a nice little town. It gets pretty touristy in the summer. But yeah, as far as Night City goes, it could not be further from Night City. It is nothing like that.
I mean, they do have all those like crashing explosion things like in Dog Town or whatever. What is it called?
Dog Town?
Yeah. So maybe one of those just hit it or something.
That's right.
Someone trying to land in Dog Town crashed to the rock.
Yeah.
Could be, man. Yeah, you never know. Anything could take it out.
All right, so fun fact number three, CD Projekt Red is a Polish company, so the scripts for their games are initially written in Polish and then translated into English.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so the original script for Cyberpunk was written in Polish.
Interesting.
I knew that. I like to blame like the cheesy dialogue on the fact that it was written in Polish first.
Okay.
Just be like, well, it was Polish.
That actually does make sense because there are some really like kind of awkward lines in there, I feel like.
I mean, the fact that it's in like an alternative timeline or whatever or universe, then that kind of explains a lot too.
Why it's so awkward sometimes.
People would talk differently than they do in this timeline.
Okay, yeah, that's right? True.
The alternative universe of California.
Yeah.
All right, so fun fact number four. The music for the band Samurai was done by the Swedish punk band Refused. There are other musicians who contributed as well, such as Run the Jewels, Aesop Rocky, and Grimes. So have you heard of Refused?
Because of the game, yeah.
No.
I mean, yeah. You know what's funny is they actually have a radio station in the game called Mario Rock, and that's the one I normally listen to, and it's got all the Samurai songs on it.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, after I'd been playing the game for a while, I looked up the band.
But, yeah, I thought that was cool. It was an actual band. So, like, when you're playing on stage and stuff, like, there's a band who's literally playing that song or can play that song.
Yep.
So my final fun fact, according to Mike Pondsmith, there are no good guys in this game. Do you feel like you agree with that?
I'm a very good guy.
He is not a good guy.
I was a perfect angel, okay?
Are there any characters you feel like, you know, maybe that's a good guy, good person?
Yeah, they kind of designed the city to be like a dog-eat-dog, like kill or be killed type atmosphere.
Like,
so it's
maybe Misty. She's pretty good.
Jackie's girlfriend.
You got Misty, you got Pan Am, you got Judy. There's your friends. What's his name? River Ward. God, I hate that guy so much. But anyway, I guess he's technically a good-ish guy.
So I take it you didn't date River.
That guy's a creep. Yeah, I think he's supposed to be good. Yeah, there's good characters.
Good-ish.
But characters. Yeah, I think they make it that way on purpose. It's like, it's the video game environment, right? It's like they designed a game where you either the city eats you alive or you rise to the top and you basically have to climb over everybody else. But then you don't feel so guilty about it. You're like, well, it was do or die.
Yeah,
you know, it was. I'm just surviving here. You know.
Yeah.
It's like they attacked me first.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I got for fun facts.
Wow, good job, Eric. That was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I mean, there's a lot in this game.
Yeah,
so,
it's a big game. It, you know, it costs $400-something million. So yeah. You'd hope there'd be a lot here.
And it takes 100 hours probably if you want to do everything. Probably more than that if you want 100% the game.
Yeah, I think I'm around like 70 hours and I've gotten a lot of it done.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely still some side missions even at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually 100%ed it. I think I'm pretty close. Yeah, I've played probably probably closer to 200 hours. And I've played, I've done three characters. So I've gone through it a couple times. My problem is, like, every time I play a game like this, I'm like, all right, I'm going to make a character and I'm going to do something totally different on this one. And then you sort of fall back into your old habits. And you're like, ah, dang it, I did the exact same thing again.
Yeah, because I know, like, there are some of the dialogue is actually, there's a lot of dialogue. Some of it's actually important and can kind of control, like, the paths you take.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get, like, different events and different endings and stuff if you do some of the different dialogue options.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of alternate endings. And you can play through all of them in the same play, for the most part, in the same play if you want to. You can take all the different paths and see all the different endings. I've done maybe four or five of them. I would argue that there's definitely a best ending, but yeah, I don't know. I guess to each his own. That's for everybody to decide.
True.
Yeah.
So the basics of the story is, like, you start by choosing your character's background. You can choose from a nomad, a street kid, or a corpo rat.
Mm-hmm.
This background can, like, affect dialogue options later in the game. So if you have that as part of your background, you might answer that way.
Okay.
The main plot starts with you and your best friend, Forever Jackie, are contracted to steal a biochip from Arasaka Tower. And during the heist, Jackie dies and the cold storage unit of the biochip fails. So V is forced to insert the biochip into the cyberware in his head.
Or her head.
Or her head. Yeah. Sorry.
Or their head.
Basically, the biochip contains the consciousness of terrorist / punk rock guitarist Johnny Silverhand, played by Keanu Reeves. And at that point, like, the biochip starts to replace, like, your consciousness with Johnny's.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're fighting for yourself.
Yeah, and that's the excuse for Johnny just to, like, always kind of be in the background and, like, judge the things you do and talk about the things you do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like if you've ever played Arkham Knight, it's like the Joker in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's just kind of, like, in Batman's head, and he's the only one who can interact with him.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Did you ever play Arkham Knight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Arkham Knight was a great game. Yeah.
He's always there giving his snarky opinions.
And
very snarky.
Yeah, I remember talking to you about this, and you're like, man, that guy's such an asshole. He's so annoying. And I was like, I think he's hilarious. He's got a very, like, punk rock sort of attitude, and he's like one of those people, you always know what he's going to say.
Yeah.
He's very definitive.
But he's always trying to tell you what to do, though. I'm like, no, he's always trying, I'm going to do the opposite. And
he is an asshole, but he's your asshole. You know, he's like, he lives in your head. You know, it's like you do a mission and you pick a dumb path, and he's like, I'm connected to the dumbest merc in Night City or whatever, you know. And
yeah.
He's always giving you the business. I thought it was funny.
I mean, he does eventually, like, warm up a little bit, and he does get funnier, but...
I think it's also because, you know, in real life, Keanu Reeves is the nicest guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so you're like, here this guy is playing the biggest asshole he can play, but in real life, he's the nicest guy. And so, I don't know, it made me laugh.
That's probably why he enjoyed playing the character so much, is because, like, hey, I never get to act like this.
And then the other thing, too, is, like, his character... It's so well done. He's got a band in real life, or did have a band. I don't know if he still got it. Was it Dogstar?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Doesn't he play bass or something?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it was a character, not necessarily that he could directly relate to, but in a lot of ways he could. You know, it was like a cool character for him to play just based on his own life. It was like, I don't know, kind of a cool thing. He's like, yeah, I could play a punk rocker. Like, definitely.
Something different.
Yeah. Maybe not a terrorist. That's he pulls it off, though. He's an actor.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about the endings a little bit? So, yeah, after you get Johnny in your head, you do a bunch of stuff with the bio. It's not important. Let's get to the important thing of, like, the ending.
I will say there's kind of, like, almost two sets of endings, I think, because, like,
there's, like, six endings.
No. But you have, like, the normal game and all the endings that you can get from the normal game. But then you have the DLC, which comes with its own separate... Yeah. Set of endings.
Good point.
So in my head, I kind of have, like, two endings, because that's, like, the credits pop up after each one. So to me, it's like, okay, when the credits pop up, that's an ending.
So I think there are four normal endings, one secret ending, and then an ending you can get with the DLC, which I think you got.
Okay. I thought there might be more than one ending you could get in the DLC.
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
I need to look that up.
I tried not to look too much of it up, because I'm like, if I want to play it again, I don't want to totally spoil all the endings, but
I think
we can talk about it for sure.
Like, the DLC has at least I think like three endings, and then the main game has four or five.
Oh, okay.
I don't have the exact number. There's a bunch.
Yeah.
It's
a bunch of. I haven't actually done all of them. I've done most of them, but I haven't done all of them.
So I got the one ending where I hooked up with Nomads and like raided Arasaka Tower, fought that one dude. What's his name? Adam Smasher. And then you get the choice of whether you want to like become like an engram in cyberspace or a construct or whatever, or you can like live out the last 6 months of your life. And I chose to live out the last 6 of my life. So I kind of rode off into the sunset with Pan Am. Sorry, Nikki.
You were like a little hoe in this game.
That's not true.
You tried.
I tried. I was not successful. That's like you ended up sleeping with Judy, right?
Yeah, and then you were like, oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I was like, I think I said something wrong because I never got the option to sleep with her.
Yeah. So I had a similar ending for that part to you. I got the choice where it was like, oh, you can join us or you can just go live your life for 6 months. And I was like, psh, YOLO. I'm not going to live my life however I want for 6 months. I'm not going to join some evil corporation as like some slave or something. No, thank you. But I only played through once. I only got the one ending.
So I heard there's a secret ending. Would you say that's the best ending?
No, honestly, I think the one where you join the Aldecados, that's probably like the nicest ending, I guess, or whatever. And it kind of leaves things, I guess they all kind of like leave things unknown or whatever, but it seems like you have the best chance or survival. You're with a sort of a family, a group or whatever, and you kind of ride off into the sunset. That's probably the best one. And then you get your friends with you.
Did you get the secret ending?
I've done an ending where you basically choose nobody. Mm-hmm. And then you just go with you and Johnny.
Okay.
And you kill everything. But, yeah, and then you just become legends or whatever. But the thing is, if you die, there's no save points. So it's like normally when you're playing the game, it saves like every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And so when you die, you just go right back to it. If you choose that ending, it's basically a point where it's like, I want to do this or I want to do this. You have to make that choice. If you've got enough, I guess, your friendship level with Johnny is high enough. Your relationship level is high enough with Johnny. You can basically just not pick anything. And if you just sit there and walk away, which I think I went out to go get a drink or something like that, and I'll come back, he gives you another option.
Huh.
And it's like, you want to just do this like you and me? And I was like, all right. Yeah. It's like, let's go kill everything. And it's basically almost like revenge for Johnny. Go kill Adam Smasher. And it's like a very satisfying, to me, that's a very satisfying ending, but you leave all your friends out of it. So I think maybe is that the secret ending you're talking about?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. And I actually have an extra secret fun fact about that.
Ooh,
so one of the lower employees kind of came up with that idea, and it kind of worked its way up the chain until they finally like got in front of like the higher up people, and they're like, okay, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Like, we should add that. Mm. Like, it wasn't really intended, and that's one of the reasons it was a secret ending.
Nice.
That was a cool ending. I actually like that one a lot. Like I said, I don't think it's maybe like the best ending. But like I said, you can play the endings multiple times because after you finish it, it can take you back if you got save points or whatever right before you go into the
It's kind of nice. Whatever. Yeah, you'll load up a previous save, but it will like throw some extra goodies at you. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Good job for beating the game type of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of replayability, especially like the ending parts.
What about the Phantom Liberty DLC? Did you guys get to the ending on
that
one?
Oh, yeah. We got different endings.
So the story for that's kind of cool. So you get contacted by Songbird because the president's plane crashes in Dogtown and you have to rescue the president and then kill the mayor of Dogtown. I don't know. There's some different paths you can take in that.
Yeah, just normal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like it's a Tuesday in Night City.
Yeah, it's cool that the DLC pretty much opens up a whole nother town. Like a whole nother part of the big chunk of the city.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And Dogtown's super cool. It's a lot different from the rest of Night City.
You also meet Reed, who is Idris Elba, the pretty famous actor.
Yeah.
For a while, people were campaigning for him to be the next James Bond, but I don't think he is going to be it.
Yeah, I thought he was really good in this game.
Yeah, I'm sure he costs a pretty penny.
Yeah, he was excellent. He actually did some rap songs for
that really?
Too. Yeah, for the Phantom Liberty DLC. Yeah, I think he wrote like 3 rap songs for it. Yeah, he's a rapper.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Does it all. Yeah.
So the ending I got, I hated
it. Oh, really? And the Phantom Liberty?
So, okay, I didn't realize that you could, like, so at the end, you have to make this choice, and that pretty much dictates what ending you're going to get. So you have Songbird in your arms, and you're walking to, like, escape, and then Reed comes out, who is Idris Elba's character, and basically he shoots you. But if you put Songbird down before you approach the door, you can basically kill him before he kills you.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, I think is the turning point of which ending you get, because I didn't put her down and I kept dying. So I ended up calling him before that mission. Like, when you save, it'll bring you back to before you pick up Songbird. And you can call Reed on the phone and work out a deal with him, mm-hmm. so that he doesn't shoot you when you approach the door. And essentially, that's what I did. So after that, they took Songbird off, separate from me, said they would save her. It was a lie. And then they gave me the option of if I wanted to get rid of Johnny or not. And of course I was like, yeah, get him out of here. So they took me to the space station hospital thing where they were doing all these tests on me. And literally this lasted like 30 minutes. You would wake up every day and the nurse would come in. You'd have to redo these tests. It was super annoying. But then eventually... Yeah, they're like, you go to sleep, and they're like, yeah, you wake up, and they're like, it's been 2 years, you've been a coma. So you call your, you know, girlfriend or boyfriend, whoever. I called Judy, she was my lovely girlfriend, and she was like, it's been 2 years, I'm married. And so then I call Victor, the doctor, and he's like, oh yeah, come see me, I can definitely fix you, because when you wake up after 2 years, they tell you, like, you're not going to be up to speed like you were. You're not going to be able to do the activities that you did before. You can't have the same life of crime or whatever. But anyways, Victor's like, I can fix that. So you go see Victor, and he's like, I can't fix it. So you're pretty much all alone. All of your friends have, like, moved off and left you. You can't get fixed. You're definitely going to die anyways. And then when you're, like, leaving Victor's office, these two thugs attack you, basically. When you walk by them, they punch you out. You get knocked out in the street, and you're like, great. This couldn't get any worse, you know. And then you wake up, and you talk to Misty for a while, and then that's essentially the end.
Yeah, that sounds super
depressing.
It's
really depressing.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did it, not me.
And then when you try to go back, like... when you, if you want to continue after that, you really can't, because it kind of wakes you up in Victor's chair, like with him telling you he can't fix you. So you have to, if you want to go back and replay that ending again, you have to go back to a safe state that you've saved. Whereas like the other ending, after you got the other ending, you could keep playing afterwards. Yeah. And it just gave you the option to redo that last mission again if you wanted to, but it's different for the DLC. Like, oh, wouldn't let me basically
That's
start
a
over.
Brutal ending.
But yeah, it was super. I did not like that ending. I was like,
That's
man,
like the worst ending you can think of. For a video game, especially.
Yeah, I was like, this is
you got to send Songbird to the moon, because after that, you can just keep playing like nothing happened.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of bummed that I had to shoot Solomon Reed, but I was like, no, man, I'm sending this bitch to the moon. And then you get his gun, so I was like, oh yeah, win-win.
Yeah, I just didn't think that you could put her down mid. Like that mission, I don't know why, I just didn't think about it, and I was like, oh yeah, I guess I should have did that. But yeah, I tried like 3 times and died each time, and then I was like, well, I guess I have to call him, I don't know.
Oh man, it sent you down a depressing path.
Seriously. Yeah. So spoiler, I did not complete the challenge that you gave me.
Yeah,
if you can't tell.
Get up.
Yeah, but then...
That's crazy, because you were so close. You were, like, right there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And then you had to, like, go get a normal job at, like, Office Depot or something and live a normal life. Sell office supplies.
So what was the other ending? I know you said Songbird... to the moon, right?
Yeah, you send her to the moon, and everything's great.
And everything's That's great. It? Yeah, and you keep playing. You're just like, sweet.
You get to keep dating your booze.
You get to keep dating Judy.
No one gets married.
No one like, gets married.
Oh man.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah,
no, man, it was awesome.
So you have a conversation with Johnny where it's like, yeah, the NUF. Well, what's the name of the country or the government?
The moon.
No, what's the name of the government who's after you after that?
Yeah.
Or what America is
it's like the Secret Service or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, these guys are going to come after you. Yeah.
In USA Secret Service or whatever.
Yeah, in USA or whatever.
NUSA.
Yeah. So speaking of things you didn't like or like, why don't we go review like pros and cons?
Yeah.
Let's start with the pros.
Yeah.
So Austin, you picked the game. What is something that you liked about the game?
I really liked exploring the city. So another fun fact, they actually hired real city planners when they were designing Night City. They did, I thought, a fantastic job. It's got all the districts. Yeah, it's just a cool place to explore.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like, I like just walking around the city and seeing what was inside buildings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job with the crowds. I feel like crowds are difficult to do in video games.
Mm-hmm.
But they did a pretty good job. Yeah, like when you run around, you kind of like are weaving through crowds and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. a surprising amount of like just NPCs walking down the street.
Oh, man, so many.
Yeah, the one weird thing is that you'll see like small groups of people hanging out. They'll have like a couple characters interacting. And then if you watch them long enough, they're kind of on a loop or whatever. And then everybody else is just sort of like walking aimlessly through the streets.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they kind of auto-generate as you're going around or whatever. But then what's weird to me is like you'll see kids. There's like one age of kid. It's like I don't know, maybe like a 10-year-old or something like that.
Yeah, like Joss's age.
Yeah, and you'll see them walking around like these awful parts of the city and you're just like...
Alone.
And you're just like, where's your... Shouldn't you have parents? Like,
it's just weird. Just live by themselves in this world.
you got a bunch of scary looking people, and then just like some random ten year olds like walking around by themselves, no parents. Like,
and the generation. We'll talk more about the kids on the cons. I think that's more of a con.
Oh yeah, sorry.
The look of the city is really aesthetically pleasing. I love all the neon lights, like especially like when it rains and stuff. It looks really cool. And I really like all the ads and stuff that they put around. Hilarious. If you stop and take a second, actually look at the graffiti or look at the ads or like look around. There's a lot of like just funny little jokes sprinkled in, you know?
Yeah.
Like that one sign that's like, aliens took my wife. Help me celebrate, you know? stuff like that I really liked.
Yeah. I like how like... multi-level the city is, and that's what I feel makes it feel like a real city, is just that it's like it's not all one static level. It's like, you know, this part goes over this part and I don't know,
there's a bridge or there's a highway that's gonna take you up
or a tunnel or something,
or again an elevator.
It doesn't seem like there's any sort of limitations when you're exploring the city. You can climb on buildings and do all sorts of stuff.
Once you get that little jump booster thing, you can jump on top of buildings, and sometimes there's loot and things.
Is it a jump boost, or do you do the double jump?
Is there a double jump?
There's a double jump.
I thought there was just a jump boost.
I always got the double jump.
Oh, yeah. I just had the jump boost.
Oh, gosh. But you guys are missing out, man.
I know.
Now you got to play the game again. No, double jump.
There's, like, so many upgrades and different skills and different things you can get. I feel like that in itself, like, no one's going to have the same... gameplay.
Yeah, you can definitely get overwhelmed with all the different possibilities. It's really great though.
I'd say another pro would be the music.
Oh man, yeah.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of music. They do a really good job with it, you know, as far as like going through fight scenes, you go through clubs. There's a part of the game where you're actually on stage like throwing a concert.
I thought that part was pretty cool.
You know, I've never done that in a game before. Like that was kind of cool. It's cheesy, but it's cool.
Yeah, I agree.
I think most of the music is good, but when you're just running around the city and you're on those radio stations, a lot of those songs are really annoying.
Right,
It sounds like they just put a prompt in AI and was like, write a 90s sounding grunge song where the... it has 10 words that repeat.
But I mean, to be fair, when I'm driving around normally and I choose random radio stations, a lot of them are pretty awful too.
Yeah. Well, I never listen to the radio anymore, maybe that is on me. Yeah. But
you can pick your radio station.
Yeah, I'm always changing it though, because some of the songs are just stupid and they just loop the same words over and over again.
Yeah, it's definitely a mix. There's some really great songs, but there's also some pretty mediocre songs.
Yeah, and then a lot of them are themed towards like the different districts
that you'll
go through or whatever, and so it's like, okay, well this radio station matches this part of the city.
Yeah,
and you can kind of tell. Yeah, I don't know, I thought they did a good job. It's a lot of music. And so I thought they did a pretty good job with it, and I feel like music is such an important part of any game. And so the latest game I'm playing is Starfield. And It's a pretty fun game. I haven't gotten that far into it, but I feel like they kind of missed on the music part of it.
I feel that way about Power Wash Simulator.
Power Wash Simulator.
It can definitely like change. Definitely affects the vibe that you have when you're playing, for sure.
Have you played No Man's Sky?
No.
So No Man's Sky is like this exploring game. You can go through space, different galaxies, different planets, stuff like that. And every experience is kind of new because it sort of auto-generates a bunch of random stuff as you're going through it. And it's pretty cool. And they've improved the game over the years, but I feel like the music that they've got to it is like ASMR, and I'll literally just fall asleep with the controller in my hands as I'm playing it. Oh, and, you know, for me, when I think of like space travel and sci-fi and stuff like that, it's like I want like some cowboy bebop, like some jazz or some punk, like the cyberpunk music, like something. Yeah.
Some lo-fi.
Yeah, just something. Yeah, even that would be good. But yeah, just something to kind of keep you into it.
Yeah, I agree.
I've definitely played some games where I just put it on mute and I put on my own music. That's not a good sign. I feel like you have to do that.
That's Power Wash Simulator. Well, they don't even have music in the game, so I'm just I like ripping on that game. Anyway, as far as other pros, like I thought the game itself is like super ambitious. It's like, you know, it's Grand Theft Auto, but like a deeper game with role playing element. Like I like how they like really went for it with this game. Like that was part of the reason why it was so buggy, but it's also great to see that they were going for something that ambitious. Like I love the sandbox type of world where you can just get in your car and do whatever you want.
There's so much stuff to do. You have like your main storylines, but then you have, I don't know, 50 other side projects or side missions you can do. You can like get all the cyber psycho people. You can do like the Dr. Hand stuff. You can do all the car.
I think it's Mr. Hands, isn't it?
Oh, sorry.
He's still working on his PhD.
You can do the Mr. Hands stuff. You can do all the like car stealing, like merc missions or whatever you want to call them.
There's a lot of different stuff.
So much stuff to keep you busy. Like if you're like procrastinating and putting off the end because you don't want it to end, you can just keep playing and doing all the random stuff for long as you want.
Even after you finish the end, you can come back and play more, which is what I usually do.
It seems like there's like a never-ending pool of missions you can like go do, which is awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then you showed me like some missions that didn't show up on the journal.
Yeah.
That just show up on the map, and I was like, oh, this is like a whole new world.
the police missions or whatever.
Police missions,
like,
or whatever.
Crime has been reported.
Yeah.
And then they actually have like, you guys work on like, what is it, like your supply locker, your gun wall or whatever.
I hardly ever went back to my apartment unless I had to.
Yeah, what do you call it? Anyway, some of the guns you would get, like the specialty guns, like the hard to find ones, are iconic, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You would find those in even some of those little police missions or whatever. So yeah, you gotta play all those.
I know, Eric.
They'll keep popping up, but I think there's like an original playthrough where you can actually knock all of the original ones out.
Nice. So. Yeah, Eric saw me at one of the little kiosks where you can sell your stuff back.
Yeah.
And I was just selling my guns back all willy-nilly because I just sort them by quality, and then I just, the lowest quality ones I have, I sell them. And Eric's like, that was an iconic one.
Yeah, what are you doing?
And I'm like, I don't care, they're all iconic.
What you've done,
it's like it's giving you warnings.
I mean,
for a reason.
Literally, there was one time I went in there and all my guns were iconic, and I'm like, okay, this is just ridiculous, I don't care.
Well, you put them in storage and never use them again. That's how you're supposed to do it.
You put them in like your little vault or whatever.
I know, I was like, if I put this in a stash somewhere, I'm never coming back to it.
Yeah,
I only went back to my apartment like one time during the whole game because it like made me do something in my apartment. Like, I'm just, I don't know, I don't care about having all the iconic
stuff,
I guess.
Get the other apartments, you can get like four or five, or maybe more than that, apartments.
No, I didn't really. Why do you need more than one apartment?
So you can bring your date there to have sex with them.
Oh yeah, you have to do all the dates.
Well, I don't know, I wasn't as interested in the dating part as you were, Eric.
Hey.
one of the cool thing about the the DLC, they added a place in Dogtown where, so if you miss an iconic weapon, say it was a part of a storyline that you can't get back to, there's a place now where you can go. It's like a black market for weapons, and you can actually buy some of the iconic weapons you missed. So then you can go out and fill in that sort of like trophy wall that's at your apartment.
I know, man. I need to go fill that thing up. I mean, I have like millions of Eddies right now, so I could probably buy whatever I want.
Millions
of Eddies.
That's
why I own all the motorcycles. I could probably own all the cars, honestly, if I liked them.
Speaking of cars, like driving around Night City was awesome. The cars themselves, like, it's more of a con, but the motorcycles were fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I would always gravitate towards the motorcycles. Yeah, it's like if you actually want to get somewhere quick, it's like motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the like, cars are cool.
Good. Yeah, it's good for getting around the vehicles and they don't fishtail for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird. It was like most of the cars were like muscle cars, but then they handled like pretty much muscle cars. There's like no balance whatsoever.
Oh, so yeah.
The oversteer was insane, which you can adjust that a little bit, I think, like if you go into settings
really?
And stuff like that. But yeah.
Like every time, like, there are some cars that are worse than others, obviously, but like you would barely touch the accelerator and then like you would just spin
out. Going in circles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bad.
Yep.
So you know how you guys were like, I'm never throwing away or selling the iconic weapons. That was me with all the clothes. So I love like all the freaking clothes that you could get. Like if you look at my backpack, it's like all clothes basically. And Eric's like, you should sell some of your clothes. And I'm like, no. And he's like, you should put some of those in your closet. And I'm like, no, I want to have all of my outfits available to me at all times.
It's like all your weight is like clothes. Yeah. It's like you can't pick anything up because you're all clothes.
You pick up one thing.
It's like you never know when you're going to need an outfit for a club. Okay. You never know when you're going to go to a casino. You need something flashy to wear. You want to look hot on your motorcycle. You need to put on some Daisy Duke shorts. You know, you never know. And I like to be prepared aesthetically. As much as I can.
So it's like you're carrying too much to run, and you're like, I'm not giving up that hat.
I'm not giving up that jacket.
That jacket's staying here.
Never.
I will crawl to wherever I gotta go.
I will sell all these knives. I will sell all these revolvers. I don't care.
Have you guys ever gotten over encumbered, and you're like, well, guess I'm just like jump hopping everywhere?
Oh yeah.
Because it's slightly faster than walking.
Slightly faster.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Summon the car. Summon the car.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, I'm in the middle of like a main story mission. I just gotta jump.
Yeah.
I do like that you can summon your car. That's a pretty handy mechanic.
You can disassemble stuff too, like so you're not totally having to just like throw away weapons, because that's like a good source of income is just selling weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, for the weapons, I would pretty much disassemble everything except for the iconic ones, and then there might have been like one or two if I was like actively using them, but yeah, as the iconic weapons are better. So yeah, you just end up disassembling everything else, and then you can use the parts from the weapons you disassembled to upgrade your iconic weapons. So
yeah. What's something else that you like, Eric?
I just love the story concept and the setting, specifically just the whole cyberpunk universe is kind of underutilized as far as games go, I think. I don't know, I just really got into the setting.
Cool.
And like I love Night City a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you could just kind of walk around and like just sort of aimless. Like, I don't really know what I'm doing right now. You just wander around and see stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So any other pros?
Oh, yeah. I love that there's just loot everywhere because I'm a big looter. Like, you give me stuff to go and like loot, I'm going to run around and I'm going to find every suitcase. I don't care if it's a lighter, a broken picture, whatever. I'm picking it up,
yeah,
okay?
I love
rosary,
looting all the junk.
Rosary beads, yes, I want those. this damaged T-shirt, yeah, I want that. Like, I don't care what it is. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to go sell it, and I'm going to run around looking for stuff when I want to just goof around, you know?
Yeah. I also like there was a button specifically just to sell all the junk you pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, we know what you're doing. Yeah, that was nice that they added that. Do you have any more? Because I have a bunch more. So
I'll go for it.
Okay. Keanu Reeves. Hello. Who doesn't love Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, he was good in the game.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's kind of like we mentioned earlier. It's fun seeing him play like a different character that he normally plays. There was like this long sex scene where he's like doing this chick. You cannot fast forward through it. If you ever have like a fantasy about Keanu Reeves, like you... play this video game, and there you go. Well, you're, you know?
The issue is you're Keanu Reeves in first person, so you don't really see a lot of Keanu Reeves.
But it's probably as close as you're going to get, you know what I mean? So
I do like the part where you give up control to Johnny Silverhand for the first time, and instead of doing what he's supposed to do, he just gets shit-faced drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gets kicked out of the place, goes and picks up a stripper, gets in a car crash, walks away. Yeah. It's just like, God, that should be a button on the controller. Just like, let's do that again.
Johnny
like,
mode.
Johnny, let's go into Johnny mode right now.
And then they have that callback to the Matrix where it's like, do you want the red or the blue pill? And it's like, I don't even think I ever watched the Matrix, but everyone knows.
Oh my God.
Pretty much ever. I think I watched the first two. I never watched the third one.
Oh, okay. Never watched
But like, I know the reference, okay, like yeah. the references yeah. from there.
Yeah, I never saw the third Matrix movie.
But though. I thought there was like a couple of different references from some of his movies thrown in, like some Easter eggs thrown in there that I was like, oh, that seems familiar. The only animal that you can pet in the game is a cat, like this hairless cat.
What?
You never saw the hairless cat walking around, like when you try to go into Victor's office or anything?
I don't think I was paying attention, no.
Well, the game gives you the option to pet the cat, so that's always a pro in my book.
Like, just the one hairless cat, though?
It's pretty much the only animal you see.
Was
like,
it a hairless cat or a gray cat? I don't know.
It was a sphinx.
It was a sphinx, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you can feed the cat. Oh, okay. That's.
I mean, do you
there's
remember?
Another cat. There's another cat in your apartment complex that you can feed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you basically adopt it.
Or oh, yeah. I didn't do that.
Oh,
but
man, I didn't do that.
That was pretty much the only animal you see. Like, there's no birds. Like, I think all the rest of the animals might be dead or something in this world.
I think that might be right.
Because you don't see any stray dogs. You don't see, you know, any of the squirrels or whatnot.
Yeah. That was a characteristic of Blade Runner. Yeah. And so Blade Runner was based on Philip K. Dick's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And in that book, pretty much all the animals are dead. There's a few animals left, but, like, almost every animal is extinct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So sad.
yeah, and I think in one point of the book, and so that's what Blade Runner is based on. The original Blade Runner is based on Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And I think at one point, Decker, the main character of the book, gets his wife a Nubian goat, and it's like very special. And it's nice. Like that's like a big thing. It's like, oh, we got a goat.
Oh, it's alive. It's not human. Yeah. This is definitely by far, for me, the most, like, adult-themed game I've ever played. I've never played a game where you could, like, go get a prostitute. But you could do that in this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's like Grand Theft Auto, though.
Yeah, I like
I don't remember, like, seeing a full sex scene in Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah, the car just kind of shakes around.
Yeah, yeah. Just like, yeah. No,
this
was, yeah.
This,
it like, just implied.
This game, I feel like it's pretty graphic-ish, you know? It's not porn, but you definitely get the vibes for sure. They definitely
kinda,
spicy.
They kind of did a similar thing in The Witcher 3 too. I think
we know what our audience wants.
You could go into brothels. This is a CD Projekt. It must be a Polish thing there.
Maybe. I mean, you know, it's something different, but yeah. And I like how inclusive it is as far as like you're dating men and women. Like you kind of choose who you want to date and stuff. Like if you want to,
yeah, multiple options
date
for both gender,
you can genders. Almost. Yeah. Yeah, and also just one last thing. We kind of talked about the NPCs earlier, but if you actually stop and look around at the NPCs, they're so glitchy, like, and they're so freaking, like, glitched out. Like, I remember seeing some, like, you'd see someone walking on the sidewalk, but they're knee deep into the sidewalk, right? Like, they're in quicksand or something. I saw, like, two construction workers. They were kind of like morphing into each other, kind of like the ghost movie, you know, when the ghost gets into your body and they're just like, I made some funny TikToks involving all the crazy NPCs that you see in this game, which like, I think it's funny because it doesn't affect the gameplay or anything. And it's just silly. It's just like, what does that guy do? What the heck? I think everyone's on drugs.
Yeah, it does really feel like that, especially with like some of the ways people are dressed, or like I remember someone holding something that was like going through them or something.
Yeah, or just you'll like, just see them laying on the ground like twitching around, and it's like, whoa, lay off the meth. Lay off the crack.
That could be cyber psychosis.
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, you just see people sitting around on the BD things, like whatever. But yeah, I found that to be quite hilarious and entertaining.
All right, so that's going to lead us into the cons. And I think the first thing we want to talk about are the fucking weird-ass children.
Hold on. The first thing I want to talk about is the first thing you do to before you even get into the game. I need to know why you have to hit continue 3 to 4 times before you enter the game.
Yeah.
You literally, you click on the game from the PlayStation menu. Then you have to press circle to continue. And then you have to press select to enter the game. And then you have to select continue on the title menu. And then it takes you to another page where you have to press circle to continue after that. Why do I need to continue that many times? Just put me in the freaking game. Like, I understand you have to have a load screen or something, but I don't know. It just seems like...
It's like they try like to put overkill. A child lock on it.
Yeah, I think so. What they don't want... Because there's that loading screen, they don't want it just to load and you're in the middle of something. So I think they want you to be ready for that. Like, hey, it's loaded. Now you're about to take control. Like, you know, if you're in the middle of something when it loads... I don't know. I understand that one, but yeah, there are a few.
I don't understand. It's like I said, continue already. Just let me freaking continue the game.
They could do better.
Yeah, it could be better. Okay.
All right. So, I think the thing that bothered me about the children was just the way they looked. they looked kind of like adults.
That's just mean. Oh, they just looked like smaller version of adults.
The way they walked too was like they had world experience or something.
They looked and walked like adults, so they were just like
they're just part of the crowd. Yeah.
Some of them, I'm pretty sure you're packing. I think you probably have a gun. You're gonna shoot me.
Yeah, and I said like the crowds were more of a pro, but then. If you look too close, then it sort of takes you out of it.
Yeah.
Especially the kids. And it's like, okay, yeah, the kids are just clearly smaller versions of the adults. They're not with a parent. Like, that's a little weird. Yeah. You can't look too hard at it. And you're just like, okay, it's weird now.
Yeah, I understand why they had NPC children, because they were important to some of the story aspects of the game, I guess. But I don't think they needed NPC children.
I think it's just like another element to show, hey, this is not the world that you live in. This is a different world where kids are basically adults from an early age or something, you know?
Somebody, you know what's funny is like, I don't know if they had kids at the very beginning. I wonder if that was a patch where they like...
Patched kids.
They complained, and then they're like, people complain. They're like, how come there's no kids in this world or whatever? Which I guess like in the actual history of Night City, there's been a huge population decline and stuff like that. So maybe there are fewer kids. Or whatever, but the kids are, like I said, they're all
the same age.
They're all the same age, and they're all by themselves.
Maybe they're not real. Maybe they are like bots.
Androids.
Yeah. They're replicants.
I'll say the game, even though they got rid of a majority of the glitches, I still encountered a couple of glitches that did actually affect my gameplay.
Yeah, same here.
Like there was one time where I like jumped onto a wall and it like kind of got me stuck and I couldn't move or anything, so I had to like close out the game, reopen it. When I was playing the DLC, there was like a whole chunk of the game where the dialogue options didn't show up, and like when you would walk in front of a door, you know how usually it's like press square to open, like that stuff wouldn't show up. And I was trying to find a place, but because that didn't show up, I thought I couldn't go into that room where I was supposed to go. So I spent like 20 minutes walking around this area, not realizing there was a glitch yet. And also it was like, it came right after a big part. So I was like, well, maybe they're just trying to make it harder on you. But anyways, there was, a big section where I didn't have dialogue boxes. And I was just kind of like going in blindly saying crap because I was like, I don't know what to do.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then wasn't there one where you got stuck in a car up in the air or something?
Yeah, so after a race, I accepted a ride from Claire, like back to the garage or whatever. And like the car ended up like 50 feet in the air.
Oh, God.
And so like my character like immediately steps out after I skipped the ride. That was the mistake.
Oh, okay.
But it ended up way up in the air. And like I walked out of the door and then my character just fell to his death.
Yeah, so you had to do that whole like,
I had to do that whole race again. I'm just like, really?
I had something similar happen to me at the end of a race where Claire's like, let me give you a ride back, and you're like, all right. For some reason, like the way I finished the race, my car had kept going through like the normal ending point and was like kind of just out in the desert. And so when she starts giving me the ride back, she literally just slow motion like backs up to where the car is supposed to be. And she drove over like 18 people.
Oh my God.
And people are like screaming, like there's like dead people all over the place. So I was like, oh my God, Claire, you're like literally killing like all these people in the crowd. And then I guess once she got back to like the normal point where she was supposed to originally give you the ride, then it was like normal after that. But I was like, Jesus Christ, Claire, what are you doing? But it didn't kick me out of the game or kill me or anything like that. It was just kind of a funny part. It took a long time though. I was like, man, we're going like a mile an hour through the desert for like 5 minutes. And I was like, all right, I'll see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still a bit glitchy.
Yeah.
So I understand why you could customize your character and all that stuff, but it felt kind of wasted. Just the fact that the entire game was in first person. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're going to give yourself like a cool outfit and all this stuff. And like, you're going to customize yourself the way you like, but then it's like, well, you don't get to see yourself except when you pause or when you look in the mirror, which takes a while, or when you're on a motorcycle.
Or there's camera mode. You can go into camera mode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. That was something that bothered me too. Especially it's like you spend all this time customizing your character and getting outfits and then you're like, what's the point? I can't even see them.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have like a little bit of a third person option just for that.
And then
option,
at the end, there are some cutscenes where it shows you, but it doesn't keep your customization. So, like, it was kind of jarring when it showed me, like, in the cutscenes, because, like, that it wasn't the nose I picked. It wasn't the skin color or hair that I had picked.
It was off.
Yeah, it was like, oh, that's not, like, I don't know. It was just like, why couldn't you just make it be my character? I don't know. It was like whatever the default character would be for the girl, I guess, is what it looked like. Which was just kind of weird seeing it, because I was like, oh, I guess that's me. That's not what I picked it to look like, but I guess that's me. So it was just kind of like a
It's jarring.
Yeah,
it seems like the when you're creating your character, your person looks amazing, and then when you actually go out in the real world and you go into photo mode or it does like one of these cutscenes or whatever, your character looks like a plastic toy.
Yeah.
Like all the other characters look real and yours is just like emotionless, expressionless, like their face is glossed over. You're like, oh, what?
Yeah. You look super generic looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cons of the game, I will say that before this game came out, CD Projekt Red, they promised the world on this game. Like they were like, this is going to be unlike any other game that's ever come out. You're going to be able to do anything. You're going to be able to go anywhere. And it was literally like they promised the world. This is going to be unlike any other game you've ever seen.
That sounds like No Man's Sky or something, where the guy is just making these ridiculous promises.
Yeah.
It's like stuff it's never going to live up to this.
Right. And so you knew even when they were, you know, saying all this stuff and coming out with the original ads and stuff like that, you're like, well, it looks really cool, but how good is it really going to be? And then when it came out, it was kind of just like a first person shooter game, but the world was cool. Like, honestly, like, they really did a good job with the city and the environment. And eventually they fixed a bunch of stuff and then added a lot more stuff, like the metro. Did you ever ride the metro?
Oh yeah, I use fast travel stuff all the time.
You can actually
get on the train.
I did get on the train once.
You can actually ride the metro. That was a patch, so that wasn't in the original game.
Yeah, it was weird.
They added it. Was weird. Yeah, so
yeah, I was like, I'm not gonna do this.
I think I was like playing it, and this is even after I bought the game, there was a patch and it was like, hey, we added a metro, and it's like, cool, all right, go ride the metro. And you like get on the metro and you're like, this is just like riding the real metro. And it's like kind of neat because you're like up high in the air, you're on a rail, you got a different view of the city, you're like, cool, all right, well, can I do anything else? And it's like, no, that's it. It's pretty much like being on MARTA.
Yeah, you can look at some NPCs and then you can hit a button to get off.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, cool, I did that once. Yeah, that's enough. Like,
wow. Yeah, I wonder how much time and money they spent putting this metro system in. And then I actually looked up, I was like, all right, like, is anybody out there actually like use the metro or whatever?
Especially when they give you the option of fast travel at the same spot. It's like, why would you choose exactly.
Metro. It's like, you can literally summon your car, or you can just hop and dash. Like, literally you can pass cars by if you're just hopping and dashing down the road. Like, you can literally go faster than traffic. So the metro seems silly to me. Like, I didn't understand. Like you said, fast travel, cars, just hop dashing.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, who's using the metro? I looked it up. And there are a lot of people that love the Metro.
Seriously?
Like, yeah, yeah. I found a Reddit thread.
Why? Is it like...
Some guy named, I think it was like Low Sodium Cyberpunk. He's like, I feel like the Metro is made for me and it's everything I wanted it to be. It's like, oh my God.
All right. You know what?
And then, you're just not in the target demographic.
There was a person who commented who's like, oh yeah. He's like, I feel like... I use it the most because I don't like summoning my car. I feel like it takes me out of the immersion or it takes me out of the experience. So I always go back to where I actually left my car. And a lot of times I take the Metro.
Oh no.
And I was like, no. Oh my God. I was like, wait, you're in this world, 2077 cyberpunk. And what takes you out of it is self-driving cars. Like we have those now. Like you can literally,
you can summon your car now.
There's cars that can be summoned today. But anyway, this guy takes the Metro back to his car because it's, you know, he wants to go back to where it was actually parked.
Nah, if I wanted to live authentic life, I would just go out to Atlanta and ride the freaking MARTA. Yeah. Yeah. No thanks.
So we mentioned how the cars fishtail like crazy. Mm-hmm. The problem is solved by driving a motorcycle.
Yeah. Some of the cars are better than others, but driving the cars is not as much fun as driving the motorcycles.
It's also a lot easier to get around everything with the motorcycles, too.
Yeah, you can weave in and out of the traffic easier.
And you can see your character for once.
Yeah.
So the game takes a little while to get going, in my opinion. Like, the early game is just loaded with dialogue trees and NPCs insisting on driving for some reason. It's like, at least let me freaking drive. Like, I remember thinking, I just want to play the game and not have, like, a bunch of conversations, like, right off the bat.
Yeah.
But it was, I just remember dialogue tree after dialogue tree, and like a lot of those early dialogue trees aren't that important either. Mm-hmm. It's just, I guess if you want more information about something, you can find out that way.
And I noticed like the skipping options weren't always consistent. You know, sometimes it'll let you skip dialogue. Sometimes it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Some phone calls you could, some phone calls you couldn't. I was doing this side mission where I kept finding this monk who would like guide me through meditations.
Yeah.
And the first one, it let me skip all of it. And then the second one, it made me sit through the whole meditation without letting me skip. The fire one, it was like, nope, you got to listen to all this. So
Did you try skipping it anyway?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, really? It didn't let you? Yep. It let me skip it.
So I get maybe that's another glitch, but I was like, that's kind of weird that sometimes it let you skip, sometimes it doesn't let you skip. It's like, it seemed kind of random with what it did and didn't. And that was annoying. Do you have anything else, Austin?
Some of the gameplay, it seemed a little bit too easy. Once you got into like the net running stuff, and you got quick hacks, it was like, all right, I'm pretty much invincible now.
Yeah, you have that one quick hack that just instantly kills somebody.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's really handy.
Yeah.
Especially like on a bigger, like armored guy or something.
Yeah, I definitely feel like you can get overpowered.
You get overpowered. Yeah, yeah, it's a little, obviously, then you can just go up in difficulty. So I remember when they were hyping the game or whatever, they had could ricochet bullets. And I thought that was so cool. And then when I actually played the game, I was just like, you just never really use it.
You can just shoot the person.
I didn't even know you could do that. It didn't seem that practical, but it was like, that was a big thing when they were hyping the game, was the ricocheting bullets, like how that was going to be a cool thing you could do. And then when I actually played the game, I was like, I'd never use that.
Yeah.
They're like, that's not practical.
Yeah. I mean, the guys are popping out like every 2 seconds. It's not like they're like bunker down.
Yeah.
And it's
actually kind of hilarious. It's like, I just shot this guy 3 times in the head, then he goes into cover, and like 2 seconds later he like pops back out.
It's right. Like, you're dumb.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well,
yeah, it actually reminded me, what was that game we played at Blue Ghost the other day where we had the shotguns?
I forget.
And you have to shoot the zombies that pop out. Some of the shooting scenes kind of remind me of that, because they would just pop out, pop back in, pop out, pop again. So you're just like, pew, 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 pew.
It's like they're checking, like, is he gone yet?
Yeah, right.
It's been 2 seconds. I just got shot 3 times in the head, but maybe he left.
My head's totally safe this time. Oh, man.
Yeah, so I guess some of the fighting styles were kind of cheesy. And it's like I said, I played multiple characters, and it's like one of those things where it's like, I'm going to do something totally different this time. And then I'm like, all right, I just keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like in, did you ever play Skyrim?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so like Skyrim, it's like I've played several characters in that game too. And every playthrough, I'm like, don't make a sneaky archer. Don't make a sneaky archer. And then like halfway through, I'm like, damn it, I made another sneaky archer. And you're just going through caves, like one-shotting everybody, like in the, like shooting in the back with an arrow. And you're like, ah, it's just so funny. It's so satisfying.
It's like, yeah, let me just take out this goblin here, sneakily, and then and this so, doesn't end.
Yeah, sure enough, on Cyberpunk, I'm just like, quick hacks, and then one shot. I'm like, God, it's so easy. But like I said, you can up the difficulty on it, which will make it a little harder, and then you can kind of implement some of the other strategies. San Daviston, slowing down time, the different guns you would choose, having a solid gun rotation.
Yeah, we can start talking about strategy now if you want, because that's kind of what we're talking about.
Is that the next thing?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, the first time I played through, so once I fell into quick hacks, it was like, all right, quick hacks, overheat. You know, you could take down most enemies pretty darn quick.
Contagion was like super useful too.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, something I didn't realize for a long time Eric actually had to show me was that you can upgrade your quick hacks.
Yeah.
There's just like so many different menus and stuff and things that you can upgrade that it's like, it's kind of a lot if you don't really like go in and try to learn it all. Like there's some stuff you can just accidentally miss.
Yeah.
And like the upgrading quick hacks, I thought that I was just stuck with what I had. And you're like, no, you can get all these extra ones. I was like, what?
Yeah.
This is like way better than what I had. Like,
especially the one that just kills the person.
Yeah. Right. I was using all these like tier one quick hacks and I was like, man, and I like, once I upgraded them, I was went, like, whoa.
You went straight from tier one to tier five.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is insane. You're like,
did anybody else know about this? Like, this
is and there's crazy. Like a lot of body hacks you can upgrade, and then there's all the skills that you can upgrade to. So it is kind of a lot if you don't take a second and like look around in there at everything.
It's like one of the systems where it's not really complicated, but it's like complex enough to be, I guess, satisfying once you've learned it.
Yeah.
You kind of get the hang of it.
It just there's a lot of like sub menus within menus where they kind of bury stuff.
Yeah. So once you learn all the sort of customization, I guess that's like any game. You learn all the customizations and the quick hacks and the upgrades and stuff like that. You eventually get good. And like I said, if you play on a harder mode, then you literally can't get through parts unless you get better at it. And that's like I said, that's when you kind of have to implement some of the strategies like the slowing down time. Mm-hmm. So upgrading your San Daviston and stuff like that. But yeah, the first playthrough I did, it was just like quick hack, one shot. Quick hack, one shot. I was like, this is too easy.
I mean, I just went around shooting everyone. I was like, this is still pretty easy.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes
I would use the quick hacks too, but not like every time.
Sometimes I would just forget I had quick hacks and I'd just be shooting people.
What weapons did you guys normally use?
I would usually use like a sniper rifle and then like...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. I like the snipers.
All right.
The handguns are really...
I was hardly ever... like far enough away to use the sniper. I was just like up on people. Like,
oh, really?
Pew, pew, pew.
You never shot anyone from a distance?
Not really. I like the revolver and the raw revolvers. I guess there's several different ones and the shotguns. Like,
oh, really?
The double barreled shotguns.
I didn't really like the shotguns because you had to be kind of close.
Well, yeah, that's most of the fighting I did. I guess that makes sense.
Mr. Sniper Rifle over here. Shooting people from like 600 yards away.
I know. What about you, Austin? What was your like most used gun or whatever?
Well, I think the fact that you get Johnny's gun just ruins all the other guns for me.
Yeah, it's really overpowered.
And so when I went back for other playthroughs, so what's Pan Am's gun? You get the sniper rifle. You get her sniper rifle pretty early on. Then there's this other gun you get called the Widowmaker, which is, it's kind of like a shotgun, but it's a power rifle. And it shoots two shots at a time or whatever. And it's got a little bit of zoom in. So it's good for medium distances. So I would do... sniper rifle, Widowmaker, and then Johnny's revolver for depending on what range I was looking for.
I mean, you could honestly just use Johnny's revolver from just about any range.
Well, yeah, like I said, once that ruined all my other playthroughs because it was like, all right, I'm going to do something different this time. And I'm like, yeah, but eventually I'm going to get Johnny's gun. And it's like way cooler than all the other guns. So I'd always do a pistol build. Like, yep, definitely going pistol again. Yeah. It's like, dang it.
Yeah. But yeah, I like just experimenting with the different guns because there are a lot of options. And one of the things I've kind of realized is that, especially with the unique guns, it's kind of good to read the description a little bit because sometimes there'll be something that's not really apparent in the stats. Like that one gun that is like that stealth gun you get.
It has a silencer on it?
Yeah, where it doesn't alert enemies when you actually shoot somebody, assuming you hit them in the head.
It's
like Your Majesty or something.
What is that called?
I think that was one of the few guns.
But I started to realize that about some of the other guns too. I'm like, oh, this one has like exploding shells. Like, I didn't realize that. But yeah, if you read especially with unique weapons, like there might be something really cool that you're missing yeah. from not reading the description.
Yeah. Isn't there one where if you hit people with it, that like it catches them on fire? Because I noticed that happen a couple times with some of my guns.
Yeah, I had one that like would poison people too.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was too slow. It was just
I
like,
was wondering why that was happening. But yeah, maybe that was just like a special thing for that gun or whatever.
Yeah.
So Her Majesty, so that gun is actually a pretty good reason. Like if you start playing the game now, play the DLC kind of early, it makes, it's almost like a cheat, but or a shortcut or whatever, because it does make the rest of the game easier, because there's a lot of missions and a lot of things you can do where you get bonus credit, you earn more eddies, whatever, if you are stealth, if you don't set off cameras, you know, don't get seen or whatever. And that gun makes it so easy. It's like the Sneaky Archer cheat or whatever, where you can literally like snipe bodyguards and like it doesn't alert the rest of the bodyguards.
Yeah
it makes it a lot easier to get through some of those seeking missions, because I think the first time I played through it was like every mission just became you kill everybody in the room or in the building or whatever.
It's like, well, someone almost immediately sees you
and you're just like, oh, that was hard, and it, you know, and I don't, it'll take forever if you're trying to be sneaky the whole time and you're like, damn, they saw me again, I just ruined it.
Yeah,
or whatever. You get the Her Majesty gun and that just makes it so much easier.
Yeah, I actually like doing just the stealth stuff without the gun. Like, I kind of enjoyed it. Sometimes I would, even if it wasn't part of the mission, I would just be like, I'm just going to do this all stealth.
Give me yourself an extra. Yeah,
just for the challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do feel like the more I played, the more I tried to be more efficient or, like, play the game the way the game wanted me to play.
Because
you get better at it and you're like, all right, now I'm like a professional at this. I'm gonna do it exactly the way I'm supposed to do. Yeah, it's like I'm gonna be surgical about this mission and do it exactly the way I should.
Yeah,
especially after you play the DLC and Solomon Reed and stuff like that, and it's like does everything perfect and you're like, all right, I'm gonna try to be more like that, I guess.
I would say, even though the game autosaves pretty often, if you're doing kind of like a longer mission, definitely try to save in the middle or during it if you can, because I've definitely been almost to the very end of a mission and died and had to start all the way back over. Yeah. And it's like, dang, that was 20 minutes of my life.
Yeah, I would manually save a lot because those autosave points are just like so random. Like, I had no idea when it was just going to autosave. Yeah, so.
If you're not in combat, usually it'll let you save. That's the only thing, though. If you're in the middle of combat, you have to finish.
Or like an elevator or a conversation or like... there's sometimes where it just doesn't let you save.
Mm-hmm.
There's and then the other thing too is a lot of times if you're starting and getting to checkpoints during missions, it'll save a lot, but then if you're just wandering around the city, you can wander around the city for a long time without a saving. So you could literally go from one end of the city to the other, you could collect a lot of loot, you could wipe out a bunch of gangs, and like there was for whatever reason the game just never saved
in
so. Yeah, if you're traveling a lot, you got to remember to save.
Yeah, it's. I wish it wasn't so sporadic, but yeah.
Yeah, I started treating it like Metal Gear Solid 2 or like any of the other games. Just save.
I save all the time. Yeah.
After I do anything, I just save it real quick.
So I figured out the perfect boxing strategy.
Ooh.
You just have to strafe in a circle around your opponent. There's literally nothing they can do.
Really?
It's like they're so bad at turning. It's easy.
Huh.
I had no desire to do any of the boxing.
You just like
stuff.
You just circle them continuously, and you just like charge up your punches, and you just go in every now and then back out.
I mean, the secret to the boxing thing was just go get gorilla arms, and then you just beat everybody down. I mean, it was super easy. But yeah, I guess did you like a strafe and dash, or did you just literally walk around them in a circle?
Yeah, I just continuously held like right.
All right.
Hack. found a different kind of hack.
So when you get to the end of that part, you fight like a professional boxer or whatever.
Yeah.
Who's, I don't even know why he's fighting you. He's fighting a no name or whatever. It's kind of like the theme to the Rocky. It's like the plot to Rocky or whatever. And you're Rocky. It's like, why would you fight just some no name from the city or whatever? Anyway, he's doing that. There's this weird thing in that mission where there's a kid. Do you remember the kid? So you talk to a kid right before you go into the fight. And the kid's like, oh, I killed my dad, or I don't know.
No.
I don't know if he killed his dad, but he like embarrassed his dad, or I don't know. Some weird thing where this kid talks to you and it's like, you know, and then you're like, I got to win it for this kid. You get done with the fight and you walk out in the street and the kid's like It's like, haha. He's like laughing at you. And it's like, I guess he made it up. Or I don't know. It's like this weird thing. I didn't understand it at all. I'm like, what's with that kid?
I do not even remember that part.
You don't remember that? Okay.
Yeah. You didn't do the boxing.
I didn't. I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Because you didn't figure out my secret strategy of going in a circle.
I don't know. I tried it once and I was like, this is boring. I'm going to do some of the other more exciting stuff. Like the car missions.
Yeah, it's still that kid still bothers me. I'm like, man, what was their deal?
You dream about that kid at night?
Yeah, I'm just like, what? Dang kid. Wait, was he making it all up or?
All right, so moving on. Any more strategy stuff?
Nah.
So there is something happening in the future.
Ooh, more DLC?
There's a sequel. Actually, they're done with the DLC, I think, for this game.
Yeah, there's not going to be any more add-ons or DLCs or anything like that.
Okay, yeah, it's probably time to move on.
Yeah, but there is a sequel codenamed Project Orion that was announced in October 2022. And in February 2024, the game was in early development with key members of the development team moving to Boston. Hmm. So the game is currently in development. Whether it takes 7 years or not is... Who knows?
What will it be like, Cyberpunk 3018 or something?
Right now, it's just called Project Orion. Yeah. They don't officially have a name for it.
Cyberpunk 2078.
Yeah. No, because I already woke up in my ending in 2079, so it's got to be after that.
2081, probably.
Yeah. Who knows?
Nah, definitely the 3000s.
So anything else for the future?
I didn't really see anything other than like random patches and stuff that they've done.
Yeah.
I didn't really find very much.
So that is cool. There is going to be a sequel.
I mean, you figured any big game like this.
Yeah, you know,
they're going to do another one.
They made a lot of money, so.
Yeah.
It did well enough.
All right. So moving on to the challenge. You gave us the challenge of sending Songbird to the moon. Bonus points if we did so while wearing Johnny's jacket.
Nope, it was Dave Martinez's jacket.
Oh.
Ooh, Eric.
Ooh, a typo on that. Well, I didn't have either on, so.
It didn't matter.
I think I'm going to wrap. And then we know Nikki failed because she...
I didn't wear the jacket. And also, I didn't send her to the
jacket. Also, you didn't do the thing.
I didn't do either.
But even though you were right there because you didn't realize you could put her down.
So yeah.
So you did nothing.
I could easily go back and do it again, but I'm like, you know what? Whatever. I'll rap. Fine. I ain't no punk. Yeah. I'm from the streets.
So, okay. So the reason the bonus was if you do it with the jacket.
Not Johnny's jacket.
So no, there's reason behind Dave Martinez's jacket. It's because the Edge Runners and the Edge Runners, there's a female character in the game that he has a crush on and then dates or whatever, and she has a dream of going to the moon.
Mm.
And so I don't know if I want to spoil that series too, but anyway, like her whole thing, she wants to go to the moon, he wants to send her to the moon or whatever. And so I feel like the whole Somi sort of plot line, a lot of it had some parallels.
Oh, okay. Nice.
It was like, well, I'm trying to send somebody to the moon.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That makes a lot more sense.
The moon, yeah. So there's, and I guess it's maybe like symbolic towards Night City sort of being like a prison and the moon is like an escape. It's like, it's sort of like freedom.
Yeah.
I guess. So, because in reality, it's like, why would anybody want to go to the moon? But I think it's just sort of this escapism type mentality of like, you'd be free of Night City if you could make it to the moon sort of thing. So, yeah.
Hopefully there are better places to go, but.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you did complete that, right?
Yeah. I took screenshots.
Did anything special happen?
No, it's just fun.
All right.
Yeah. It's just a fun thing for me.
For fun.
And nobody else.
Yeah. No, that's, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the twist. All right. I didn't do it.
And so you're going to rap with us anyway, right, Austin?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of required, just, you know.
Definitely mandatory. All right. Let's hear it.
I've got a ghost in my head. And I got a hand, a handful of lead. And I got some gigs, yeah, eddies to earn. And I got a city to burn. Got a body full of chrome and a ghost in my head. Got unfinished business hanging on by a thread. Nova hack screen gear, delta out of tight spots. Overheat starting fires with my thoughts. Welcome to Night City, where the players play. And Night City legends never fade away. Punk beats hit streets, where should I begin? flat lines from gangsters, and that's chipping in. Got punk rocker relic that I can't erase, and I just launch a bitch into space. But I won't lie, hope I'll get there soon, cause there might be better doctors on the moon.
So we're on the streets, and I hear you need something really niche. Well, sit down and take a seat. Hands is here, bringing the heat. You're in for a treat, I come with receipts. Mess with me, and you mess with my fleet. Quick on her feet, control alt delete. It's dinner time, and I'm ready to eat. Lie still and cheat from the elite. Like concrete, and I can't be beat. Oh, and your mom's in my penthouse suite, so you better run back to your little car seat.
I'm at the height of my game, I came looking for fame, adding fuel to the flame, acclaimed when I drop my name. Jackie Wells, gotta dispel whatever the hell V yells, when I'm not lifting dumbbells, I excel at saying farewell. Got a BD, Keenan and Kel that I can't sell. Shit, my cyberware's Adele, it can't even play a cowbell. Representing Haywood, in a gray hood, like to convey good, misunderstood any way I could. Father's Day wasn't good, thought I could make it alone, since I'm like Carl Malone, crossed with Al Capone, crossed with Franklin Stone, but shown the way to the throne, starts by finding the zone, not relying on loans, or hanging with feet getting stoned.
Man, Austin, you got the flow. You got the rhymes.
Yeah, great job, Austin.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, good job.
Tried my hardest.
It's nice being back.
Yeah, first rap I've done in ever.
It's the first rap we've done in a hot minute.
Yeah, it's definitely been a minute.
And at least a few months.
All right, so Nikki, are you excited to hear what the game is going to be? The next game,
yeah.
Not this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's your pick. It could be anything.
Any guesses?
You've been playing a lot of Tears of the Kingdom, so I don't know. Are you going to pick that?
At some point, I definitely want to probably go back and start with Breath of the Wild.
I thought maybe not, though, because Cyberpunk was a really long game, so I didn't know. I know the Zelda's games are really long, so I didn't know if you would pick another really long game or not, but I don't know. That was the only pick that I...
It's a longish game. It's actually a pretty short for the genre.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing Mario RPG.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, it's new, right? Or did they just come out with a remastered
version? Yeah, we're going to do the remastered one.
Okay. RPGs are sometimes hit or miss for me. I like the action RPGs, but more of the role-playing RPGs like Final Fantasy don't always hit with me, but...
This is more of an action RPG.
Okay. Okay.
So your challenge is going to be to defeat Exor.
Okay. Defeat Exor. Is that beating the game?
No.
Okay.
He's a boss before the game. He's a giant sword that's in Bowser's castle.
Okay, cool. Sounds
fun. It's kind of like on the cover and the picture and everything.
Yeah. I'm always down for a Mario game.
All right.
Sounds fun. Well,
yeah. And Austin, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Coming all the way from Cali.
I know. It was a long walk.
Just to record this podcast and nothing else.
I know. Yeah.
So we've had Eric's brother and sister-in-law on now. So now I just got to get some of my family on.
Yeah. Nice. Nolan, Kirsten.
We'll see.
I'll get Joss on here.
Yeah. Got to get Joss.
Landon.
Anyone that's willing to rap. You know, that's the caveat. You have to rap. It's our rules. It's our podcast.
It's a big caveat.
Yeah.
So far, everyone's done it. So, you know, whatever. Anyways. Until next time.
All right. Bye.
Yeah.